Yeah, I'll be here all week. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 3 to verse number 5. We'll pray afterwards. And we'll see a special thought this evening from the Bible. With God's help, we'll preach it. I want to preach tonight with God's help on He has a plan. Amen. He has a plan. Starting in verse 3, you read in your heart as I read out loud. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation. Go to verse number foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And let's pray. Father, we come to Thee, and we ask for Your blessing, ask for Your help. I know You don't have to have me, but I'm in desperate need of Thee. And God, I pray that You, for these few moments, would help us see a great truth tonight. And encourage us. And may we believe and continue in faith in Jesus' wonderful name, precious name, all-powerful name, Christ the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to call to your attention verse number 5 with the key word predestinated. The Bible says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. As we've been studying the book of Ephesians Sunday morning, I want to look at this word and give 2 points about God's plan. God has a plan. The word predestinated simply means pre-planned. Pre-planned. God had ordained some things for our life. He has a plan. And He knows what He's doing. Amen. Sometimes we don't see what He's doing. We don't understand what He's doing. Sometimes we want to look up in the sky and say, Lord, it doesn't make sense to me. But God has a plan. Amen. And I want you to pay attention to this and let nothing give a detour to you. Backing up to verse 3, again, we know that the key theme is spiritual blessings, is rich in Christ. We have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's where Christ sits. Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things above where Christ sitteth. He sits beside God the Father. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation. He shows us here that He chose us. Now, chosen here is not to where God has elected us to heaven and some He has hell. No, no. God's chosen all mankind. He loves the world. For God so loved the world. When I got saved, I didn't go looking for God. God came looking for me. He chose me. Amen. I had nothing spiritual about me. I was on my way to hell. That's where I was going. You say, well, how spiritual were you? I was spiritual enough to go to hell. How good were you? I was good enough to go to hell. That's how good I was. But the Lord came by, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin and showed me my need for Jesus. And I gave my life to Christ that day. I was 12, greatest day of my life. And then the Bible says that He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God had a purpose for my life. God chose. He came after me. Now, I had to make the decision to accept Him. We all have a free will. Don't let anybody with some tag on the end of their name who thinks they're smart tell you anything different. God has given mankind a will. We choose. We have a choice. Now, I don't have a choice in the matter of where I'm born. He's the potter, I'm the clay. He made me this way. He gave me this skin color. He gave me my background, my parents. But when it comes to my will, I have a choice in the matter of what direction I'm going to take. And then God had chose to come after me, and He's got a purpose for my life. It's a wonderful purpose. It's a great plan that He would show me as a trophy of His grace if I'll yield myself and allow Him to do it.
And then verse 5 it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. God shows us the word predestinated. It's a word that has been destroyed for many years, and in recent days, many, many are falling to the heresy of the teaching of predestination. This idea that God had pre-planned lost people to die and go to hell, and pre-planned some to be saved and go to heaven. The only time the word predestinated is mentioned in the Bible, this is one of them, when it's mentioned, the only reference it's making is to God's children. People that are already saved. He never talks about predestination to lost people. It's always in regards to the saved. See, here's the thing. I have a choice to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Predestination, the Calvinists will teach you that you were before ordained to be a part of God's special predestinated plan. No. I was sealed after I believed. Amen. That was when the Holy Spirit came into me. That's when I became a part of the children of God, adopted in His family. So God's plan, He's got a plan. And the Lord said, here's my plan. Everyone that accepts my Son, I've got some things for him. I've got a plan for his life. I have a plan for him. And we'll look at 2 points tonight and be done. See, God has a plan. And here's what predestinated is. Here's what predestination is all about. Number one, to adopt us. It's God's plan. God could have saved me and left it at that, and I'd have been grateful. He could have said, I tell you what, world, I'll let my Son die for you so you don't have to go to hell, and I'll save you from a devil's hell, and I'll forgive you of your sins, and I'll show compassion, but I'm not going to love you. You can give compassion without love. You can be merciful without caring. And there's a reason why John 3:16 does not say, for God so had compassion. For God so was merciful to the world. God says, for God so loved the world. And God's plan was that when you receive Christ, He's not just going to forgive you and save you and give you a home in heaven, but He's going to make you a part of His family. He would adopt you into His family, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. It's not saying that my predestination, the plan of God, was for some to be saved and some to be lost. He's saying that God had planned for the believer to be a part of the family. And it's a great adoption. It's a great thing. What a great plan. Aren't you glad tonight that God has such a plan as to make you a part of His family? I'm a part of the family of God. I'm adopted. There's something mighty special about that. We have 4 girls and I love them to death. I love my children. But they are my children without choice. God gave them to us. But when it comes to adoption, if I was to adopt a child, it would be by choice. And legally, I can disown my own children, but if I ever adopt a child, I legally cannot disown an adopted child. And God adopted us. What He wanted to show you was His plan to show you how much He loves you. That He would make you His own. You say, there's nothing good about me. And God says, I know, I'm going to save you and change you and make you a part of my family. And now there's something mighty good about you. You're the family of God. A royal heir with Jesus. God even shows us in the days to come, we will reign with Christ as kings with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be some special number group. You're a part of God's family. And we'll forever be with the Lord as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing. The word predestination, predestinated, predestination is mentioned. It's mentioned here in this passage. And there's another passage It's mentioned. Another place, another book, I should say. It's mentioned twice here in this chapter. One other time it's mentioned. And we're going to see point number two tonight. Not only God has pre-planned, predestinated you to be adopted, but let's look at the next one. Go to Romans chapter 8. He has predestinated, pre-planned you to be what? Conformed in the image of Jesus. So number one, He's conformed you to be adopted. And number two, He's conformed you to be in the image of Christ. And let's read it. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, if you go to verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So here's the word again, predestinate. Again, the word means pre-planned. God says, those that I knew would accept My Son, those that were going to accept Jesus, the ones that He foreknew, foreknowledge, and by the way, let me help you out. Look right here. It's impossible to explain foreknowledge. We can make an attempt. We will never understand the blessing of it to its fullest. But that doesn't mean we cannot live in the blessing of it to the fullest. God has a foreknowledge. He knows everyone's going to be saved for the rest of the world. You go, how is that possible? Don't try to explain it. That's when people get in danger. When somebody tries to be smart enough to explain how God knows who will be saved. They say, that don't make sense. You can sit down with the Calvinist that is a true Calvinist, that knows why he's a Calvinist. And ultimately, they're going to tell you that what they battle is how can God know people will be saved and give them a choice. They will tell you, that doesn't make sense. It only makes sense to me that He knows who because He's made them to become that. You can't explain God. You're not smart enough, sir, ma'am. Foreknowledge is above your knowledge. Amen. What you can do is accept. Listen, nobody becomes a Calvinist by reading the Bible. I was reading the Bible the other day and I became a Calvinist. No, you became a Calvinist because somebody tried to explain truths in the Bible that are not revealed. They took a verse of the Scripture and lifted it up to be a vehicle to find some deeper meaning. It's all allegorically interpreted. One time a guy said, well, you know, John 3:16, the word world means elect. Sir, no, it does not. It means world, okay? For God so loved the world. It's not a deeper meaning hid there. Here God says the word predestinate, and it's two believers, and it's in regards to God having a plan that everyone that He knew would accept Christ would be conformed to the image of Christ. Let me explain. What's the first thing He's predestinated us to? Adoption. Now, what parent in here desires their child to look like them? Amen. It sure is a blessing when somebody looks at my girls and says, I see their mama in them. I see their daddy. Now, when you look at my girls and you tell me, I see their uncle, I almost slap you. Amen. I say, there's no uncle there. This is me, my children. You know, there's a reason why I look like William Dale Gregg. There's a reason why my wife will go, ooh, you're even acting like your daddy. You know why? Because he's my daddy. I have his mannerisms. I look like my mother. I look like my father because I am a part of the family. That's my dad. That's my mom. God planned it that you'd be adopted, become a part of the family. And now He wants you to look like the family. God's purpose for your life is to adopt you and then to conform you into the image of His dear Son. That you would be a part of the family of God, living a life that is clean. It says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What is it that God had before ordained? That we would walk in good works. God ordained that those that trust me, I want them to live like me. A holy God wants a family that's holy, blameless. It said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that those that he had chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. And God has a predestinated plan. That is to adopt you. Hallelujah. How wonderful that is. And then his plan is to help you become like Jesus. Now, how's he going to do that? Well, Romans chapter 8 says what? Verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for the good." People love to claim that verse in a hard time, don't they? Dr. Lee Robertson, when they buried his baby girl named Joy, that night after hearing about his baby dying, little Joy, and they ended up naming a camp after her called Camp Joy. He at that moment decided for the rest of his life, he was going to have a life verse, Romans 8. 28. "And we know that all things work together for good." You say, "I'm going through a hard time," but I know what? I can take this verse and say, "Hallelujah, I know all things work together for good." But let me remind you what good he's talking about. He's talking about the good of conforming you into the image of his Son. He's talking about the good of his purpose, his plan for this world. He planned that every one of us would be his family member, and then that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. Now think about it. Maybe you lack faith. Maybe you're a doubter. Jesus did not doubt. Somebody say amen. So sometimes there's a trial you have to go through. Sometimes there's testings, the classroom of school, life events. There's things that God allows you, tribulations. There's testings that God allows you to go through to help conform you into the image of His Son and help melt away the doubt in your life. He's got a plan. He adopted us. Now his plan is that we should look like him, live like him. We're a son of God. Listen, I'll say it in a humorous way, but you know, it's fun to smile. I don't look like Mike Tyson. Amen. Don't sound like him. Almost got really excited. Amen. How you guys doing? You know? I'm the world champion boxer. Yeah. I don't look like Mike Tyson. You know why? He's not my dad. I look like my father. God's children ought to look like God. There's a reason why to have friendship with the world is enmity with God. This world is trying to take the place of God. It's trying to take its place over God and conform you to the world's image. To a child of the world, Jesus called the lost people children of the world. And who are you going to look like? A child of the world? He told the hypocrites that they are like their father, the devil. Who are you going to look like? Your father's the devil? Or are you going to allow Christ to get to victory? There's reasons why you go through what you go through. We're almost done. Look at James. James is all about seeing the real man in the mirror. The book of James deals with tribulations, troubles, trials. The book of James starts out My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Many times people go through hard times. They go through troubles. And what they do is they speak instead of listening. They get angry at God instead of listening to what He's trying to do. It goes on to say in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Listen. We know that all things work together for the good. When you go through a hard time, when something's going on in your life, do not err, my brethren, and point your finger at God and accuse Him as if He is enticing you with sin. Do not err, my brother, thinking that God is like the weather, changing constantly on you. No, no. Every gift from God is good and perfect. And what God has allowed in your life is that all things would work together for the good, because who He foreknew, He's also predestinated them to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Do not err. It goes on to say in verse 22, or verse 20, going to verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know what most of us do when we go through trials? We miss God's plan to conform us. Instead, we don't listen. We don't hear the Word of God. We get angry at our trial. We get impatient with the situation. And God says, when you get angry and you have wrath, it does not work righteousness. You miss the picture. Listen to me. Open up the mirror. Open up the Word of God. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. God says, when I give you tribulations, open up the mirror. Close your mouth. I have a plan. I'm trying to conform you. Maybe it's impurity. Maybe you're not holy. Maybe you lack faith. Maybe you're lacking patience. And patience is trying to have its perfect work through the perfect law of liberty. If you'll yield yourself to God, I'm telling you, God's got a great plan. And it's to conform you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that all things work together for the good. God, this is exciting. He really does have a plan for my life and for your life. There's nobody here that God is trying to figure out what to do with you. He knows you and He has a plan. And He's molding you into the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you go through hard times, close your mouth. Open up the perfect law of liberty. Listen to what God's got to say. And allow Christ to be conformed in your life. To mold you into the image of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Jesus has a plan. God's got a plan for your life. He pre-planned this to mold you. He pre-planned to adopt you. He said, I'm going to make him one of mine. I'm going to make her one of my children. She'll be a joint heir. Jesus will be the elder brother. Wow, that's amazing. But since you're a child, you've got to get conformed. I've got some things I got to melt off you. I got to put you in the fires of life to burn out the dross. You go up to a man that works with fire and iron and metal.
There's a reason why he puts that metal in the fire, that is to burn off the impurities. And the Lord is trying to work in our lives tonight. I'm going to pray. When I say amen, piano's going to start playing. And whatever God's touched your heart in, will you allow Jesus to be conformed in your life? Father in heaven, I pray you to help us now. I pray you mold and move.